This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hour number two here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, Joe Weil in for the guys. Hart, Fitzy, and Ted off for the holiday. We're with you up until 6 o'clock today. And then you got the Christian Arcan show is currently scheduled. Is it Christian in today, Brian? Do you know that off the top of your head? Is it KJ and
I don't believe our Candace is in. I'll have to check who is.
Okay. All right. We got somebody coming up at 6 o'clock. But just to let you know, tomorrow as well. So KJ and Lyons have you in the Greg Hill Show slot tomorrow at 6. I'm back with Justin Turpin in the Jones and Keefe spot tomorrow. And then we're into national coverage tomorrow heading into the holiday. So that's just an update. No WEEI Afternoons tomorrow. But that is what is going on here on the station. Joe Weil, you have the honor, because last year it was the Arcan and Hart iteration of WEEI Afternoons. We had not yet put together what we do at 3 o'clock when Ted Johnson enters the fold. So for the first time, you will take part, Brian, in our 3-point stance.
319!
Ready!
It's the 3-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Got it. Scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or this is the only part of the show you normally do, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. So, Joe, it is 3 o'clock. We have you and I and Brian Frazoco, each of which will present our stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. So we set each person up with 60 seconds. You make your stance, you make your opinion. You give your opinion on something sports or beyond, and we debate it from there. So I'll lay the groundwork for you. Brian, may I have 60 seconds, please?
Dan, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right, let's get to the Boston Bruins and something that David Pastrnak said during practice heading into tonight's game. He said on the game that they have tonight against the Canadiens, quote, "We can feel the importance. You can call it the most important game we've had this year. It's a big game for us. It's a must win." Marco Sturm echoed part of that. He said it's important, and I would agree. They're 1-2-1 on this homestand. They've lost 3 in a row. It's a rivalry game against the Canadiens after you got embarrassed on Sunday, and then you go on a 5-game road trip, 4 of which are coming against West Coast teams. You got swept by Vegas, Colorado, and Utah the last time that you went out on a Western road trip. But you're less than halfway into the season. You have 8 teams in the Atlantic, all of whom from first to last that are separated by a combined 10 points. You're 4 points out of first in your own division, and you've played the same amount of games as Detroit, who is currently leading it. The Bruins aren't the most talented team. We've known that all season long. I told you to watch college hockey so you could see who they draft first overall. But they've won based on vibes, based on culture, and based on positive attitude. If the Bruins are starting to panic already about it being a must-win game 35 games into the season, that's a major concern for me.
Well, and you kind of hit on, I think, the most important point. Like, the beginning of the season was fun. I mean, especially where expectations were to start out this year, and then they win their first three games, and now more recently, right, defensively, it's been a mess for this group.
Yeah.
So now that they're 20-16-1, right, and they have this big game coming up against Montreal, where are you leaning right now? Are you starting to panic, or are you still pretty optimistic that this group can continue to surprise us the rest of the way?
I wasn't panicking until I heard that quote, if I'm being completely honest with you.
That was the siren.
No, they were outperforming what I thought the expectations were going to be. I thought they built a bad roster, and I thought they were going to be horrible this year, if I'm being completely honest with you. I thought they were going to be in the Gavin McKenna sweepstakes at the top of the NHL draft this year. He's playing for Penn State. I made the joke at the beginning of the season where every Friday I would tell the guys, here's when Penn State's playing so you can watch meaningful hockey this weekend because the Bruins won't be playing it.
Gagging for Gavin, I believe you coined it.
Yeah, I might have borrowed that from Jones and Keefe. I'm not sure if I'm that creative with my names, but I certainly borrowed it, and it was true. And they outperformed expectations, and specifically Marco Sturm was far exceeding my expectations as first-year head coach of this team. So I was feeling good because they were feeling good, and they were winning games, and they were still being chippy, but they were scoring goals. But if David Pastrnak, who I just coined last week as the guy that I would vote for captain right now, is saying this is a must win game for us, this is a can't-lose, no other option than lose game in mid-December when you have the full month of January before the Olympic break and then the rest of the season left, that's a panic comment for me. It can't be that serious 30-something games into the year.
Well, and obviously with you follow any team in any sport throughout the season, and especially one more like hockey and baseball and basketball, because football is different, obviously, because it's just every Sunday, Thursday, whatever.
Yeah.
17 games. You do ride the wave of a year. And I guess, again, just to follow up with another question for you, you know, I mentioned that they obviously got off to a 3-0 start, as we know, but then they lost six in a row. So were you panicking then with this group? And then obviously they bounced back and kind of got back to a better spot.
Yeah.
Weren't any comments like this from Marco Sturm.
No, that's the thing. Like, I was low on them. I just thought they were coming back to reality. I didn't set myself up for panic until they actually started like playing like a playoff team. I thought there was actually a little bit of something here with this group. Yes, Brian.
I was actually going to, I sort of had a different view on it than you did. I sort of looked at it as a positive. Joe, you just hit on it. That six-game losing streak earlier. Do you remember some of the comments after those by some of the players? I have one right here from Morgan Geeky saying, quote, each guy, myself included, has to look in the mirror and decide what we want to do and how we want this year to go. They were talking like, we have to win, like looking themselves in the mirror. It seemed very doom and gloom. You had McAvoy talking. You had all these guys talking about it. And then they went on a little bit of a win streak, turned the season around, and shifted our expectations for the team. Now, I'm with you. It seems a little early to be saying must-win games when it's the middle of end of December, but we sort of got to this point earlier. Marco Sturm chewed him out. You had players saying we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and figure out what kind of a season we want to have. It feels like they've already done this and they turned it around. Now, it could go in completely the opposite direction, right? They get too tight and then they end up, you know, blowing this game and their season really gets derailed after already losing three straight games leading up until tonight. But we sort of saw these kind of comments earlier in the year, and we saw them turn it around when they had them.
We saw similar comments, but I would push back, and I completely see where both you guys are coming from. My only pushback would be the circumstances around the Bruins when those comments were coming out were completely different from where they are now. You said that you had to turn things around, but then you did. And now, and the reason I laid out the point spread is that even if you lose against Montreal, And then you go into a road trip where in five games you go 1-3-1. You get 3 points out of a possible 10 or something like that. You then have the entire back half of the season to make that up. So I just the hole that I poked in it was that you're your mindset around this season, the way you were looking at your culture, the way everything was going for the Bruins was, hey, why not us? Why can't we be competitive this year? And all of a sudden now it's, now we have to win. It's all riding on this one game on a Tuesday night against Montreal, a rivalry that Brian Frazoco is about to talk about in a few moments. I just thought it was a sign of weakness and panic and concern from the Bruins that we hadn't seen since they were able to turn that around. So it caught my eye. It was very anti this wave of positive play for the Bruins, if that makes sense.
Well, and one more thing on this one. I mean, do you feel like in some ways it's already been a win of a season? The fact that you haven't given up yet. I know it's still so early, but the fact that you were making jokes about watching college games.
Yeah, and the 774 says, we were with
you,
Dan.
Yeah, they were right in the wave there with you.
Gagging for Gavin indeed, that's right.
Yeah, that's where I wonder if it already has felt like a win in some way that you're still locked into this season and having the anxiety of, okay, we're playing game number 38 of the year. Where is this team going to go in this big matchup against Montreal?
It has been a win of a season to this point. And I think the two tangible things that I take away so far, I think you found your coach. Marco Sturm has proven that he has the pulse of the team to this point, and a team that's not overly talented, but he's made a number of good moves with the lineup to just squeeze the most out of it that he can. And I think Jeremy Swayman's proving something as well. I think he's, not to say that he's proving that he's worth his contract, but he's proving that he's worth consideration as a starting goalie that can win you some games that you're not supposed to win. Doesn't always happen, but he's vaulted himself into the upper third of the NHL in both real stats, like say percentage and goals against average, and also the expected nonsense that were, you know, that is rampant in the baseball world. The hockey world has the JV version of that, and he's up there too. So
he's proving that last year was more of a fluke than what he actually is.
Right. Yeah. Like if he actually just got off his high horse, signed a contract and went to training camp on time, that maybe we would have had a different conversation. But I'm just putting that on your radar. For Bruins fans, Brian will get to the specific matchup coming up tonight about the rivalry between the Bruins and the Canadiens in just a moment. So, Joe, I showed you the way, and I ask you one question. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, Frazoco, give him 60 seconds.
Put it on the clock.
Go ahead.
All right, well, it is Festivus. So, while I try to be Mr. Positivity a lot of times in these airwaves, let me share my lone grievance.
Okay.
Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
Go sign Alex Bregman. Put the whole conversation to bed, shut us all up, and get it done. And Craig Breslow, he said it himself yesterday when he was talking about Wilson Contreras and where this roster's at, you know, after they signed him, or they just traded for him. We recognize at this point, this was the quote, we recognize at this point the roster is probably incomplete, and then he also said that adding another bat is a target and a priority. And as much as everybody is complaining about the moves this offseason, I think they've made a lot of moves that have made them better. We'll get into it. Wilson Contreras, a big upgrade over the hodgepodge of Abraham Toro, Nathaniel Lowe, and last year's Tristan Casas. Sonny Gray's outperformed his primary number two target that we've been talking about in Joe Ryan in pretty much every category last year outside of ERA and slightly in K percentage. But they need to add Bregman to add on to the other guys that they brought in. Johan Oviedo, we didn't get a chance to talk about him. I went too long. This is my first. The 60 seconds comes up pretty quick.
It sneaks up on it you, does doesn't it?
When you start hearing that timer, it really gets
that
in your
was,
head.
That was like, okay, wow, I really took too much time. But just to finish the point out, Johan Oviedo, we know he's got the stuff. We could talk 5 minutes about induced vertical break. I am not going to bore you guys with that. But I think on top of all these moves that they made via trades, which I think have kind of move the needle back to, okay, they're back to where they were last year. One thing that I think get them over the top and I think will change the conversation is just signing a free agent, because they're still in that class of them and the Rockies as the lone two teams without a free agent signing. It's going to be expensive, but that all being said, bring Alex Bregman back. And if you do that, you shut people up. You quiet the questions about people or that people have about this team in terms of spending and what this ownership group is doing nowadays with that. You bring the leader back from last year, and he's supposed to be, according to FanGraphs, a 4-win player this year for a group that still needs some offense.
Attaboy.
What was that, 2.5 minutes?
I'd make Ted Johnson blush. Good Lord. So, point making fun of you for the 3-point stance, notwithstanding, it is a tough thing to do, and I tried to fit all my Red Sox thoughts into 60 seconds yesterday, and got about a third of the way through. let Andy and Fitzy talk for a little bit and then just did another minute on top of that. So I feel your pain on that. And
there's a lot to say.
I think it's interesting. We'll do more of this in the 4 o'clock hour, but I want to quickly pivot on that's a definitive line that you're drawing where people have bemoaned this offseason for the Red Sox this entire time. You've made 10 trades and there are still people that don't believe that your group is better than you were a season ago. It's a lot of moving, a lot of all around on the depth chart just to get back to like the even watermark of being slightly over a 500 team. Signing Alex Bregman, full stop, means that the Red Sox had a good offseason. That's your statement.
That's my statement. It's almost as simple as that. And what we would do too, and we'll talk about this more later, as you mentioned, it would get them into that second apron sorts here with MLB, the MLB payroll and all that, right?
Right.
It'll kind of get them over that second mark that takes them more seriously as a team that is willing to spend, which we've had questions and I think rightful concerns about as it's related to the Red Sox. But again, I think just the legitimacy of having your leader back from last year, and not just that, because you say leader and you say, okay, but what is he going to bring on the field? He's 32. He's still going to be a really productive player, I think. And even though he only played 114 games last year, he still was worth 3.5 wins above replacement. And the second half of the year, it kind of fell apart. He was playing hurt, all that stuff. But at the same token, I think if they bring him back, it just makes them more legitimate. And they don't have Devers anymore. We obviously know this. They need more offense. We'll talk more about it. But I have taken too much of Brian's time here.
Because,
I went 2.5 minutes on the 3-point stance.
That's the beauty of the 3-point stance. The rules are subjective. We've had days a couple weeks ago, Ted Johnson came into the studio, told everybody that Bill Belichick didn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I did hear that.
We spent the next 3 hours on that one topic. So technically, he took Andy and Fitzy's time for the remaining time on the show. Zach Coe, if they sign Alex Bregman, is this considered a successful offseason to you?
100%, yeah, to me. You made the decision that Alex Bregman needed to be re-signed on June 15th of this year when you traded Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
So anything shy of bringing back Alex Bregman or getting another bat like a Ketel Marte is a failure of an offseason to me.
Okay. That's fair. That's also very definitive.
Can I just ask a question really quick?
Go ahead, Brian.
Them signing Alex Bregman, isn't that just sort of them bringing Alex Bregman back?
Yeah, so that...
In the sense of their offseason moves was Oviedo and Sonny Gray. If you told me...
Well,
two
and Contreras, too, now.
And Contreras. So if you told me 2 months ago that those were the three moves that they were going to make in this offseason, I'd say, well, why didn't they go get a bigger name than any of those guys? Why didn't they get a Joe Ryan? Why didn't they get Pete Alonso? Why didn't they get Kyle Schwarber? Like, to me, that's not a super successful. We were sitting here talking about a big name player potentially at the plate and on the mound. So far, they've gotten neither.
Right.
And this was sort of assuming that they were going to bring Alex Bregman back, that he was either going to opt in, or if he didn't opt in, that they were going to sign him to a longer deal. Like, that doesn't really feel like a great offseason to me, especially with the moves that the Blue Jays have been making and seemingly are going to continue to make.
Yeah, so the modus operandi coming into the offseason was impact bat, complimentary bat, number two starter. That was the general idea of what it seemed like they were targeting. Then you kind of figure out your middle relief, losing Justin Wilson, losing Steven Matz, all that. So you then leave this offseason essentially, assuming that you sign Alex Bregman with...
And can we even assume that at this point?
Just for the sake of the conversation, okay. Yes. But the physical numbers that are being exchanged gets the Red Sox into a spot in their payroll where they have stated that they are uncomfortable going. So let's leave this discussion here because we're going to do a bunch on the Red Sox coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We do have a couple more minutes remaining in the 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons because we're not going to have any other Bruins talk scheduled, at least unless you join us at 617-779-7937. Somebody's going to be in the building for Bruins and Canadians tonight. Brian Frazoco, I ask you, are you ready? Okay, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm going to start my 3-point.
Other microphone. And go ahead.
I'm going to start my 3-point stance off with a question. Do you two remember this goal?
Top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Dan Ball, I saw you mouthing the call of that goal by Jack Edwards, which means you do remember that call. That was 2011.
Game 7, first round, baby.
Game 7, first round, Bruins Canadiens, Nathan Horton scoring the goal to advance the Bruins to the second round, where we all know they would eventually sweep the Flyers, beat Tampa Bay in 7 games, beat Vancouver in 7 games, and win their first Stanley Cup in 39 years. I ask you two, Does the Boston Bruins and Montreal Canadiens still have that same juice that Jack Edwards brought on that night in 2011?
No, sir. Not even close. Hasn't happened for years.
I am going to the game tonight with a couple of my friends who are going to be in town.
Right.
And I'm excited to go see the Bruins play. I've yet to see them this year. I didn't see them at all last season. I'm excited to go watch the Bruins play. However, the team that they're playing is not part of the reason that I'm excited. I would rather go see Connor McDavid. I would rather go see Nathan MacKinnon. There are a lot of players I would rather see in the National Hockey League, a lot of teams I would rather see in the National Hockey League than the Montreal Canadiens. It is a sad state of affairs what's happened to the Bruins and Canadiens rivalry, and I feel like we're losing a lot of the rivalries in Boston sports today.
Oh, okay, so that's its own kind of separate conversation. So Bruins, Canadiens, you've lost. Red Sox, Yankees got a little bit of a shot in the arm this year, but certainly doesn't have the, you know, early 2000s juice that I think it did. It might have been the best that it was this year in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
and I want to ask you guys, who's the Patriots' biggest rivalry? Is it the New York Jets? Because they've been irrelevant for 15 years.
It's definitely not the Jets.
Yeah, I guess it's the Bills at this point. That'd probably be my pick.
It's probably the Bills right now. It is funny, though. And it's not recency bias. Maybe it's because of the context of our lives. Like Patriots Ravens, I always feel like has some juice to it too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you go back a decade too, and then I don't want to say the Giants because the Giants haven't been good in forever. Yes, they have the two Super Bowls over the Patriots, so I'd probably say the Bills right now.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it's the death of the Jets rivalry. Definitely the death of the extended death of the Canadiens rivalry because they were bad for a while. And then right as they were starting to get good, the Bruins started to get bad, and they haven't matched. I can't remember. It was almost a decade ago the last time that they matched up in the playoffs. So that one's not really there. I guess for the Bruins, you'd probably argue the Florida Panthers is their biggest rival, but it's a very one-sided rivalry right now, and it doesn't have any history behind it. It has a couple years' worth in one trade.
And I was talking to Scott McLaughlin before the show, our Bruins writer, and I was like, if gun to my head, I could maybe name 4-5 players on the Montreal Canadiens, and even that I'd really have to think.
Yeah.
He started listing some names, and I just sort of smiled and nodded along, and I was like, I've never heard of that.
I mean, you're not
before.
A huge Juraj Slavkovsky fan? Not a huge Ivan Demidov fan, Bri?
And, you know, they've been rebuilding for a while, and yeah. I think they're one of the tales of, you know, talking about, you know, when teams should tank, right? We talked about the Bruins earlier, you know. Dan, I think you're on the side of them tanking. They're sort of one of those dangerous tales, similar to the Buffalo Sabres, where at least the Montreal Canadiens have finally dug out of it.
Yeah.
But it took a while. I mean, they were really bad for a long time.
Yeah, they were. They were indeed. So I think there's a chance if the Bruins handle this right that there could be a rebirth of the Caulfield-Suzuki-era Canadiens against the, call it, Hagen's McAvoy era Bruins, but we're certainly not there yet. And the Bruins are probably the one that you could say really don't have a set rival right now. Rather be golfing 95. Panthers Bruins rival. Ha, good one. That's what I'm saying. It's a rivalry in that they played in the playoffs and there was a trade. It's just extremely one-sided. You'd say the same thing about the Maple Leafs. They always play in the playoffs. The Bruins just always win. So yeah, they're kind of without one right now. So I'm wondering if it's the very beginning of maybe the reigniting of that Bruins Canadiens rivalry, but there really isn't just a lot of juice around it right now.
Who would you say for the Celtics? I was just thinking about that in my head, and I had a couple of different teams that kind of came to mind. The Heat is one of them.
Yep, yep.
The Warriors for a certain amount of time. I mean, those two teams had good battles, but for them, it seems to just change. You know, it's really changed as like the decades have gone on, because obviously you think of the Lakers and all the battles right. that they have. I mean, that's still number one, right? I think it'll always be.
I think so. I think present day, I might give it to the Knicks.
And somebody actually just texted that. That was another thought I had too. The Knicks, they just it's different now. And again, the Knicks knocked out the Celtics, obviously, last year. But the Knicks have just not held up their end of the bargain.
It's true. It's
historically.
True. And if the Knicks
I'd say the best back and forth, Miami and Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because
sure.
You've sort of shared that in the playoffs. They beat you once. I think the Celtics beat the Bucks a couple times. I think that's the closest one.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. But again, there's no set. Yes, I know that to be the case. The only team that I think you could say, I know this is their one rival right now more than any other, and it's good right now, is Red Sox and Yankees.
Yeah.
And it seems like Patriots and Bills to me is on its way up right now, but that wasn't really the case. The Patriots had a couple decent wins as they were going through this kind of retool. But, yeah, it's an interesting time for rivals in Boston sports. But we'll put a pin in that one right there. That ends our three-point stance. When we return, Boston Celtics, another win on their ledger last night, and another performance from their head coach and their depth that has people kind of changing the way they're seeing the Celtics. We'll talk about the Boston Celtics and their game last night after Brian Frazoco gets you caught up on what's trending.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Jaylen Brown scored 31 points and the Boston Celtics won their third straight game last night as they took down the Pacers 103-95. The Celtics improved to 18-11 on the season. They will travel to Indiana for a rematch with the Pacers on Friday. Tip-off of that game is at 7 o'clock. The Bruins are coming off three straight losses, as Boston will hit the ice tonight to host the Montreal Canadiens at TD Garden with puck drop at 7 o'clock. Jeremy Swayman will be between the pipes for the Bees. 49ers beat the Colts 48-27 last night on Monday Night Football behind five touchdown passes from Brock Purdy. The Niners are now 11-4 on the season. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell said J.J. McCarthy has a hairline fracture in his hand and is out this week. Andy Hart's boy, Max Brosmer from UNH, is expected to start. Patriots begin preparation for the Jets this Sunday, and according to Mike Vrabel, the team will open the 21-day practice window for defensive tackle Milton Williams. The NFL Pro Bowl selections have been announced, and only two Patriots players have been selected, those two Patriots being quarterback Drake May and cornerback Christian Gonzalez. I'm Brian Frazoco. That's what's trending now on WEEI and on WEEI.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sports news breaks. Don't ask these guys to fix it.
Nothing's a big deal.
Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson on WEEI.
But it's the Celtics night. They trailed by 20 in the third quarter. They come all the way back to beat the Pacers. Three in a row for the Seas.
We are in the holiday spirit here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, Joe Weil, and for the guys, Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson off for the holidays. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That was the final call from a 103-95 win for the Celtics, in which they outscored the Indiana Pacers 29-13 in the final quarter to pick up a win over a team that came in with a record of 6-8. in 22. Just catching up on some of the notes from our three-point stance from the text line on the 508. Remember when Montreal tried to call the cops on Zdeno Chara for his hit? Those were the days. Yes, the hit on Max Pacioretty, I think
it was. And I think they banged out all the phone lines so nobody could actually call the police if there was an actual issue.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that hit was so severe. I think that was the hit that led to the change where now NHL arenas have to have the rounded glass at the end of the bench because of it. So no criminal charges, just a change to the rule from that one. Yeah, when Boston-Montreal was legitimately changing NHL rules, solid. Also a point from the Twitch chat. You can join that at Boston WEEI if you want to watch along with the show today. Talking about how players don't hate each other anymore, how rivalries, just inherently the idea of a rivalry is less prevalent because individual player-on-player rivalries just don't really exist as much anymore. That was something that we didn't bring up in our conversation off of Brian's three-point stance, but I think there's really something to the fact that players are kind of in a very pro-player mindset in this current iteration of sports.
And that is something that it's funny. I'm in my early 30s, but I do find myself doing that, oh, remember back in my day?
Yeah.
You know, type of mindset for certain things across sports. And we were talking about, you know, Red Sox, Yankees, and how it, you know, I don't think it'll ever live up to the 03, 04 days where the rivalry was at, you know, its peak, and you had Pedro, you know, hating on Kareem Garcia. Who is Kareem Garcia? I mean, one of the all-time quotes there.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, you look at the Yankees, I mean, from the Red Sox perspective, who do they really hate on that side, you know, among the players? Maybe Cam Schlittler now.
And yeah.
I know we'll kind of get into the trades for the Red Sox in this upcoming hour, but that was one of the sad things about Hunter Dobbins, you know, getting traded from the Sox to the Cardinals. Like, just him, even before he makes a first start at Yankee Stadium, being just like, yeah, I hate the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time you had a moment like that? And then you're right, it was followed up by Benedict Arnold himself, Cam Schlittler, pitching for the Yankees despite being a Boston guy, and then going to the Garden and putting a picture of Titi Garden.
Yeah, how did that make you feel when he was at the Garden and the Bruins actually posted a picture of him in one of the booths, right?
Yes, they did, and I didn't love it. Yes, Zach. I can't hear you, Zach, so I'm gonna talk instead and say that I didn't love it, to be completely honest with you. I kind of didn't want to see a Yankee anywhere near a Boston sports team's social or their brand. I would have left that one alone, but I also understand that a social media employee's job is to get engagements. And I'm sure the comments, the swipe ups on that, whatever platform it was posted on, probably went pretty crazy and got that person a hey, nice job today, man or woman.
And that is one of the moments of this upcoming year I'm looking forward to the most, because we didn't get a chance to see Cam Schlittler pitch it at Fenway, and that would have been pre, you know, what he did in Game 3 and then all the comments after that.
Yeah.
That is one of the kind of the circle the calendar games for me coming up for this upcoming year. But again, and it's just because it's rare.
Yes.
It's so rare nowadays. And again, trying to think across like all of the teams, I think the Celtics and Heat had something going there where there was real disdain, I think, on both sides. And it kind of led all the way to the top. Now, Danny Ainge is no longer here with the Celtics, but I always loved the back and forth kind of in the front office with him and Pat Riley, because those two clearly hated each other.
Right.
And they were from a different generation too. So again, it's different than it is nowadays. But yeah, it's just not completely what it used to be. But I think what can get it there is if you have a winning team that's won Super Bowls or championships or whatever it may be, we'll see if the Patriots can kind of get back to that point where they can become the true hated team in the NFL like the Chiefs were, you know, obviously prior to this Mahomes injury.
And I think it's starting. You get guys like Cam Newton with the fool's gold, middle of the mall kind of thing. You're starting to see the conjecture around the Patriots start to take that same style that we saw for the better part of 20 years from a national outlet. But quickly, before we get into the Jaylen Brown specific part of the conversation about the Celtics and the comments that he made, a game last night in which Joe Mazzulla essentially cleared the board. The starters were not getting it done, so he pulled everybody off the floor except for Hugo Gonzalez bench. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, and Nemi Ikeda. The Celtics immediately outscored Indiana 10-2 and 19-5. all told, the Celtics outscored the Pacers 54-26 after Mazzulla pulled the starters. It was his 200th regular season win, reached it in just 275 games, making him the third fastest coach in NBA history to reach that mark, behind only Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson. This has been a much different challenge than anything Joe Mazzulla has seen as a coach at the professional level. When you're coaching in the G League, your coach, it's more just about our goal is development. We just need to make sure that these guys are ready, that when they get called up, they're ready to play for the Celtics. They play our same style and they're ready to roll. He then takes over for Brad Stevens and immediately inherits a championship caliber team in which you basically just need to make sure that you don't screw it up. Put the right guys out there to start, make the changes when you need, keep the rotations manageable, and you should be able to win a lot of games, and that's exactly what happened. You pull Jason Tatum, pull Drew Holiday, pull Kristaps Porzingis, and pull Luke Kornet out of that mix, and we knew coming into this season it was going to be a challenge unlike Joe Mazzulla had faced as head coach of the Celtics. And when they went through their kind of, I'd call it, identity crisis to beginning of the season, there were a lot of people, myself included, who were looking at this going, oh, well, he was a coach that was propped up by the roster that he had. I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed with the way that he has experimented with the rotation, found something in Jordan Walsh, finding something in Hugo Gonzalez as a guy who has one hell of a motor on him for a young kid with a lot of energy that he puts forth. And Brian Ferzocco, I'm impressed with the way that Joe Mazzulla has workshopped this team into a team that is now an East contender.
And I think something that I've been pleasantly surprised by is his command of the locker room. This is now the second time he's benched Jaylen Brown. If you remember, about a month ago, they were playing really poorly against Brooklyn, and he benched Jaylen Brown. And
I can't believe they lost the game to the Nets.
And we discussed that, but you sort of look at it and you wonder, would he be doing this if Jason Tatum was here, right? I think a lot of people assumed when he was hired at the time that Jason Tatum had something to do with it because he was on the second row of the bench among the coaches. So it didn't really feel like he had a lot of experience or was necessarily the front runner for the job if, Udoka was to leave unexpectedly. So I've liked how he's kind of controlled the locker room. He hasn't taken any BS. It sort of finally feels like he feels like the leader in there without Jason Tatum, which I've been pleased by.
I did skip over the Udoka era. That's my bad on that as well. But where do you land on Joe Mazzulla, the job he's doing this year versus years past?
Well, so I'm curious where you guys stand on this, because I felt like the year they won the championship, he had a pretty good feel for everybody. And it was obviously heightened expectations. You make the trade for Porzingis. I mean, you came into the season feeling pretty good about things. And then they put together one of the best, kind of wire-to-wire runs in NBA history when you look at net rating and all that stuff. Obviously, the fact that they lost in the playoffs last year and they blew those huge leads in Game 1 and Game 2 kind of made you question things. And yeah, the first year, there were a lot of question marks, especially considering where he ranked among the assistant coaches to Ime Udoka before everything kind of fell apart there. So I've always been a fan. I feel like he does know who he is, and he does have that kind of inner, like, never always satisfied kind of mentality. I remember there was an article in The Athletic where this kid reporter asked him a question, you remember that, when he was like asking about the balance, between having fun and kind of doing what you need to do. And he had to give like a really interesting answer. And then there was a follow-up article about it that, like, he just is like, yeah, I really struggle with that. But to your point, this season has been maybe the most impressive. I would say actually the most impressive season for him as a head coach. And to your point about earlier thoughts in the year, when they started out 0-3, I was like, I think a lot of people of, hey, maybe they just need to tank this year. Not intentionally, but like, maybe this is just a complete throwaway season.
Don't rush Jason Tatum back. Let him take the time to rehab. This is just going to be, we'll try to fight to get into the play-in round and probably nothing more.
And maybe hope if it goes worse than that, you luck yourself into a good draft pick in what's supposed to be a loaded draft class this year too.
Right.
The fact that it's at where it's at now, where they're the 3 seed, you got all these guys, as you mentioned, like Jordan Walsh having a really nice run, Gonzalez now, whose net rating in terms of Eastern Conference players is actually the highest of anybody with a certain amount of minutes played. Been on the floor for at least 100 minutes this season. He's got the highest rating. The development stories here have been remarkable, and not to mention Jaylen Brown. He's kind of having his, like, Pippen moment, right?
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, he's had his Pippen moments before as the number two guy on a championship team, but more so like when Jordan was out, he stepped up and really showed the league, okay, this is what I can do. But to me, now the question becomes, as at the trade deadline, if things continue to go this way, do you look to add to this group or do you look to subtract? Because do you really think you can actually accomplish something this year? And that obviously involves Jason Tatum, if he can come back, where he's at in his timeline, coming back from the ACL injury, and if he can actually have an impact this year. But if you feel like he can, and if you feel like he's trending in that direction, why not go for it again in an Eastern Conference where, yeah, the Knicks are good and so are the Pistons. They're having an incredible season. I still feel like it's pretty winnable.
That question for me boils down to what can you get for Anthony Simons? Because he's still a bench piece. And can he, with the money that he makes, get you something in your front court that helps you be successful? But we'll continue the Celtics conversation and key in on Jaylen Brown, because he said something about this season compared to past seasons in his career that caught all of our ears, and we'll react to that next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
It's Kids Day here at the Garden. How do you balance pushing players to improve while also keeping the game fun for them?
I struggle with that, to be honest with you. I think everyone has a different definition of fun. It just, you have to find one as a team. And, you know, I think fun's a cop-out sometimes when things aren't going well. Everybody likes to say, well, let's just have fun. And it's like, well, what does that mean? You know, I think you have to define what fun looks like as a team, you know, and then you kind of have to go after that. But, you know, that phrase can be a cop-out sometimes. So as you get older, kid, don't use it, you know. It's like, I just want to have fun. It's like, well, what does that mean? So, you know, you just got to define that. It's a good question. I struggle with that.
Thank you.
Yep.
I tell you, love him, hate him, think he's a dink. Joe Mazzulla is unbelievably consistent. He could be talking to his players, talking to the media, talking to a kid. He's not going to change the way that he thinks about life and talks about life, man.
So why do you think people think he's a dink?
Especially because he is. What?
I think he's honest. I mean, I appreciate the honesty. I think it first and foremost. He's at least who he is. There are people that are frauds and try to be a certain person. And I feel like this is just who he is as a guy. Or do you think it's an act?
No, I don't think that's an act, and I think that's why he's a dink. I think he just is a, I think he's a hardo. I think he's kind of weird.
Phrase can be a cop-out sometimes, so as you get older, kid, don't use it.
And I think he's so incredibly serious about everything that he's one of the more intentional people that I feel like I've heard. Like, it's every single, there is no word that's wasted. There is no action that seems to be wasted. It seems like he is meaningful and purposeful with everything he says to everybody, which is a skill in and of itself. That's just one of those things where I'm like, hey man, take a deep breath. You don't need to tell a kid that having fun is a bad thing. Like, that's just, I don't know. To me, that was a bridge too far. However, I give him credit in the sense that he is consistent. You know what you're going to get from him. You know exactly what his personality is, no matter who he's talking to and what he's talking about. He's just he's an odd duck, man. He is.
The final thing I want to say on this, because I mentioned it before, and I want to give some credit to Jay. It's Jay King of The Athletic, who wrote a follow-up article about this.
Yeah.
Mazzulla had a quote in there where he said, just in general, I don't get joy from winning, not even a championship. I get the most joy and fulfillment when I feel like it was done right, regardless of if we've won or lost, and that's really it. It seems extreme, right? But at the same time, I want him as my coach.
Yeah.
Because if
I don't want to coach against him.
No, exactly. And especially we talked about with this season where this team is at.
Yeah.
He's won me over, even if he's definitely his own character and eccentric, and even if it feels like it's over the top at times.
Yeah, he can be my coach. I don't necessarily think I'd want to go have a beer with him.
Fair.
But he can certainly be my coach, and if he wins games, then I'm not going to complain. Okay, speaking of unique characters, Jaylen Brown, Brian Frazoco, had something to say about this season with the Celtics compared to ones that he's played in the past. Here's what he said.
Oh, it means everything. I think this has been my favorite season so far, being able to get an opportunity to lead a group of guys who, some of us, we have some championship experience, but we have five or six new guys who haven't really played NBA basketball. And now we look like one of the better teams in the league. And that's just credit to our coaching staff and credit to our leadership that we've been able to get those guys comfortable. And we're playing some good basketball right now. So it means everything.
Jaylen Brown has played on super teams. He's won a championship. He's played with unbelievable individuals, played with multiple great coaches. And yet 2025-26, the year where his running mate, the Batman to his Batman, the Batman to his very talented Robin, whatever you want to call it, happens to be hurt for the majority of the year, and he just so happens to be the number one on the Boston Celtics. Joe, your reaction to that?
Well, first thing I'm going to ask you, are we the lazy media that he was talking about in that stream the other day?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I consider myself to be both lazy and media, so I guess I'm two for two.
Fair enough. It is a really interesting comment. I think Jaylen Brown is... I feel like his career with the Celtics has always been in an interesting spot, right? Because first off, he was booed on draft day. I know this is something that's been talked about on this station a ton. Then, this organization drafts Jason Tatum, who becomes the darling of the Celtics, of Boston, the most popular athlete or one of the most popular athletes in the city. Obviously, probably not Drake May, but before that, I think he held the mantle.
And Roman Anthony.
And then Roman Anthony, too. And then prior to them winning the championship, everybody was looking at him as the guy that if they don't win, it's because of him. They can make fun of his left-hand dribble, the fact they turned over the ball a ton in that Miami series when they lost the Eastern Conference Finals. So he's just taken so much slack. I feel like he's always been in I need to prove it mode in Boston, which is why he's joked about with his hair and being in this market, why it's falling apart. And that's sort of become a thing. So I think for him, when you take into account all those different things that he's experienced in his Celtics career, being in this market, all that stuff, I just feel like he's always in that mode. And once again, here's another season where, okay, Jason Tatum's out. What's going to happen to this organization now that the best player on this team is out for a significant period of time? Are they going to crater? He's once again proving the doubters wrong, and this time it's truly in an on-the-court way without Jason Tatum. So I think for him, this season is once again another kind of like it's a chip on the shoulder, but once again it's another check mark for him.
Right.
Hey, Celtics fans, hey Boston, hey New England, once again I am proving to you that I am worthy of the money, I'm worthy of equal-ish star power in this market to Jason Tatum. Because look at us right now. We don't have Porzingis. We don't have Holiday, even though I think that was the right move, obviously, by Brad Stevens. Those guys were of championship pedigree on that team that won it all and were significant contributors. We got all these young guys. I'm the one kind of pulling us forward, and we're in third place in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, and he'll let you know it, too. Credit to our leadership.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's rumored to have butt heads with Marcus Smart. This is a guy who has struggled with the power dynamic with Jason Tatum of whose team it is. And now that they're winning, that Marcus Smart's gone, Jason Tatum's not here yet. Oh, it's a credit to our leadership. It's funny. I'd never heard him say credit to Marcus Smart, credit to Al Horford for his leadership. Never heard him give credit to other people for their leadership. But he's the first one to say credit to our leadership this year. Let me ask you, too, who's the leader of this Boston Celtics team?
Jalen Brown.
Huh, interesting.
And Joel Mazzulla, who, by the way, we got a hilarious text. Would you be surprised if Mazzulla at 65 would be fishing in his swimming pool? Crazy eyes is nuts. But
he's had too much success in his too early in his career that he's just smug. I think that's kind of an interesting take on it as well. But yeah, Brian's right. Like it's he's having a great time because obviously they're performing well. They're winning a lot of games. It's a different kind of challenge because they were viewed as more of an underdog this year. But don't get it twisted. He's having the most fun this year because it's Jaylen Brown's team. And that's consistent with messaging that we've gotten in the past about how he feels.
He likes to prove people wrong.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's finally doing that for the first time.
Right. And he's never truly gotten the opportunity to be the one, be the leader, be the guy, all the things that he talks about. But he says that he stays in Boston because he has a great chance of winning. And I understand that, but then it always seems that that is met with the caveat of, but I'm not overly happy here. So it just, again, it's another opportunity where something comes up that just, that one caught my ear. Things are going well. Things are going great. You're having an MVP caliber season. You're in the top five. Reestablish how I feel about all this. So that is the underlying current of the Boston Celtics in their season. But once again, similar to the take on Joe Mazzulla, they're winning games right now. And I guess at the end of the day, that is all that matters. We have Red Sox calls lining up right now. We'll get to those because we're pivoting over to the Boston Red Sox. Both Joe and I, lucky enough to be members of the Red Sox Radio Network, lots to get to from their offseason. We'll do that next.
Why do you think people think he's a dink?
Especially because he is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.